Yeah, we're going to start our second message on Lord, teach us to pray. So before we come to do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. Father, we thank you that we can come to our church here at Gympie Baptist this morning to remember you, to remember all that you've done for us. Father, as we come to the message now this morning, Father, speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, teach us what you would have us learn from your word this morning. Lord, enable us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we will not just hear it, Father, but that we will put it into practice. We just ask and pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus once, after a journey, sat down beside a well, and there he spoke to a Samaritan woman. And the fact that she was a Samaritan, that she was also a woman, is significant. Now, as a Samaritan, she was despised by the Jews. But also being a woman, a Jewish man would never speak to her, let alone ask her anything. But Jesus speaks to her at this well, and he asks her for a drink. And if that wasn't a big enough shock for her, then she was truly struck with awe when later in the conversation Jesus said to her, "An hour is coming, and you shall worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of the worshippers that the Father seeks." And just keep that in mind. So as we come to our passage this morning, Jesus teaches us three important lessons about prayer. First, we ought to pray to our Father who is unseen. Second, we ought to pray to our Father who rewards us. And third, we pray to our Father who knows. Now, passage this morning is the first instance in the New Testament where Jesus refers to the Heavenly Father in a relational position with us. Three times in our passage, Jesus refers to God the Father as your Father. He is your Father. Now, that's significant. God is our Father, the everlasting God, the Lord, he who wraps himself in light, he who makes mountains tremble, and who flung the stars into space and knows them by name, who is so holy that no man can stand before the presence of his glory. Jesus says, he is your Father. And Jesus bids us to enter into his presence alone to pray, because he is our Father. Now, we often think, what a wonder it is that God hears us when we pray. And that is a wonder. But a more glorious and wonderful thing it is that we can call God our Father. Now, when I was at school, I went to James Nash for high school. My dad was a teacher there, and he taught senior English and history. Now, I never got to experience having dad as a teacher, and that might have been a good thing. But my sister Jill did. Now, Dad was a no-nonsense teacher. He was strict but fair. He loved his students and he wanted them to learn. And the students had a certain respect, a certain reverent fear for Mr. Koenig, or Killer K, as he was nicknamed. Now, you can ask me that about that after this message this morning. Now, one day after class, Jill had a female friend in her class come and ask her, "What's it like to have Mr. Koenig as your father? Fancy having to go home to him." And Jill smiled and responded, "Well, you should come home and live with us and see." To us, he was just dad. And a child needs to have no fear of their father because he loves and cares for them. But there is a certain awe that comes with having God as our father. Now, Samuel Chadwick was a minister in England. And he tells a story of how when he was a teenager, the minister at the church he attended invited him to come to the manse for an interview. He didn't say what the interview was for. But Chadwick remembers going to the manse in great fear and anxiety. He was extremely nervous because he held the minister there and with such respect and awe. So nervously, he knocked on the door. Then the minister's wife came and opened it. And as he entered, he felt the terror of that reverence which he had for him. When he was led into where the minister was, here he was, on all fours, giving his children a ride on his back, and they were most excited, holding his long beard for reins. A child has no fear to come to their father. They have no fear in his presence, no matter how great a man he might be. They might have reverence for him when they learn who he is, but they need not fear. So three times Jesus says to us in our passage, he is your father. Now, before we come to our main points this morning, we first have two negatives in prayer that we must deal with. So if you look at verse 6, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, in Judaism, there was a set time for prayer. And if you're a devout follower, it didn't matter where you were or what you were doing, at that time you would stop and you would pray. And so it wouldn't be unusual to see someone praying on a street corner. So in our passage, the problem isn't with devoutness, but it's with the hypocrisy that had crept into prayer through rabbinic tradition. It's not wrong to pray out loud, and it was tradition in the Old Testament to pray standing, but when you intentionally pray out loud in such a way so as to draw attention to yourself, the focus is no longer on God, but on being noticed. When prayers are made intentionally long or flowery to put on a show, we're not honoring God. We're exalting self. Now, there was once a newcomer to a church, and they had their prayer meeting one evening, and so he attended this prayer meeting for the first time. And after a little while, he prayed, and he gave a long and seemingly elegant prayer. And after about 20 minutes, an elderly and devout man in that congregation, in that prayer meeting, who knew a thing or two about being in the house of prayer, piped up and he spoke, "Are you going to ask something now? Are you going to ask something? Do not be like the hypocrites. Prayer is not about putting on a show. It is about our relationship with God. It is realizing that that through our prayer, our lives find meaning and expression in the presence of the Lord, our God, our Father." And if you look at verse 7 and 8, we are then told to not be like the pagans. For they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. And Jesus says, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Now, babbling, that's an interesting word. It refers to the incoherent chatter of a small child who is not yet to learn how to speak. That's what babbling is. In 1 Kings, Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. And we all know the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. So there on Mount Carmel, Elijah went to offer a sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal going to offer a sacrifice, and the God who had answered by fire He was a true God. So the prophet of Baal went first, and they assembled and called on Baal from morning till the time of the evening sacrifice, which is about 2:30, shouting and chanting over and over again, slashing themselves with spears and swords. They were unheard. They were unheard. Hear the words of Jesus again. Do not keep on babbling like pagans. When we pray in such a manner, you will not be heard by your many words. Now, the Jews had learned to pray in this way from the Gentiles. They thought it was the quantity, it was the length of the prayer that matters. So our first negative of prayer is not to be hypocritical. And the second negative of prayer is forgetting that prayer is about relationship with God. Our Heavenly Father hears us when we pray, so we don't need to keep on going on and on. Jesus then says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So what is the importance here? The importance is attitude of heart. The importance is where we stand with God. The importance is that of a relationship between a child and their father. Now, last week, we looked at the importance of praying with each other. The importance this morning is our personal relationship with God. God wants us to come into his presence. He wants us to come alone. Let us think of that. The Almighty, all-powerful, sovereign Lord of all heaven and earth is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father, our loving Father, our everlasting Father, our Holy Father. And he wants us to come to his presence alone as a child comes before their father. Now, just this week, I was leaving the gym. I was got into my car, and there was a young mum in the car beside me. Yeah, there was a car space between us. And the door was wide open, and she was waiting for her small child to get out. And he was taking his time, and she was being so patient. And this little boy got out. He would have been no more than two. He had a little stuffed toy under one arm, holding another little toy in his other hand. And he was chatting away to his mother. And so I just watched them. They slowly walked behind my car. He was just walking beside mum. Then all of a sudden you see him reach up his little hand and just take her by her hand. And it made me think, it takes the combined characteristics of a father and a mother to give us some semblance of an idea of God's fatherly love for us. Only in a semblance, but it takes two of us. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And remember those little ones to whom Jesus spoke? They came and they sat on his knee, and Jesus blessed them. Now imagine yourself as a small child holding your parents' hands and chatting away in all innocence and honesty. That's what it should look like when we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer alone. Jesus had us go into a quiet place to be with God alone, to enter his classroom, so to speak. And there Jesus teaches us to pray so that we might know what it is to come into the presence of God. Remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When we enter into our quiet place to pray to our Father who is unseen, and when we do, he is right there with us. It's when we pray alone with our Heavenly Father, it's when we are alone with him that we can be honest and we need always to be honest. It is where we can speak our mind and what is truly on our hearts, and we can make requests of him because he is our loving Father. What father refuses the requests of their child in need? But earthly fathers can give good gifts. How much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us? We must always remember whose presence it is we come into. Now, Solomon wrote, "The highest heavens cannot contain you, Lord." And when we enter into his presence alone, it is like we pass through the curtain into the Holy of Holies, where God alone is. And there we must go without any pretense, without any guile, without any false motive of self, because there in the holy place of God, all is laid bare. Because God sees our hearts and he sees our motives. When we enter into the presence of God, we must leave the world outside. And there in the holy place, we must surrender ourselves completely to the will of God. We must leave all thoughts outside. We've come to God. He wants to speak to us. And we need to be prepared to listen. And he'll never speak to us if we've come with our own thoughts. We need to wait upon God. When you pray, go into the room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, Jesus shows us here where we are to go to meet with our Heavenly Father. And he teaches us that our Heavenly Father will always be there waiting for us to come. We must all have our own quiet place where we can go to pray, to be alone with God. And just like Jesus, our Heavenly Father says to us, "Let the little children come unto me." We can only come before our Heavenly Father when we go with childlike faith. Let the little children come. Next, Jesus says, "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." When a father sees a small child fall over and hurt themselves, what do? They go to them and they pick them up and they lift them into their arms. When they ask you something that you know that they need, don't you make sure that you give it to them? When they come to you for advice, don't you listen to them? And don't you answer them with as much wisdom as you can muster? And when they just want to be with you and chat, don't you take the time to just enjoy that moment of fellowship? And it's the same with God our Father. And we sometimes might feel that our prayer times are not what they should be. You might be feeling tired. You might be struggling with sin. You might feel that there is no joy in your life, and you might be feeling discouraged. You might think that you have little to pray for, that you have little to offer God. And we all at times struggle with prayer. We all at times struggle with things in this world. But that's exactly the time when we should be coming to our Heavenly Father. That's the exact time when we should be praying. Remember the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son went to his father and he asked for his inheritance. And then the son went off and squandered it in a far-off land. Then a time of hardship came and he became destitute and he was starving, reduced to feeding pigs. And to a Jew, that was detestable. But while he was feeding those pigs, he remembered how much his father loved and cared and gave to even his servants. And it was then that the prodigal son thought, I'll go to my father. I will go to my father. And he left the home. Andrew Murray writes, do not think how little you have to bring to God, but how much he wants to give to you. Look into his face. Think of his compassionate, tender love. Tell him how sinful and cold and dark you feel. The Father's loving heart will give you light and warmth. Do what Jesus says. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. When we speak to God the Father in such a way, we show the simple faith of a child. We acknowledge there is nothing that we can do. And like the prodigal, we simply go and fall on our knees before him who is our Father. Then the Lord who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And the writer of the Hebrews says, anyone who comes to him, that's God, must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. The blessing of our prayers does not depend on how we pray, but on the love and power of him to whom we pray. God bids us to enter alone with him. And like the prodigal son going home, when we go, God is there waiting for us. And he rewards those who come to him. It was while the prodigal son was a long way off that his father saw him and had compassion on him. And he ran to him and threw his arms around him. And he said, tonight we celebrate, for my son has returned. He was lost, but now he has been found. Now that's the love that God the Father has for us when we come to him in prayer. God bids us to cast all our anxieties on him. And why does he bid us to cast these anxieties on him? Because he loves us, because he cares for us. Now Jesus' next words of the Father are, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now isn't that the way of parents? And the children are very young. You know your child. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know how they react in certain situations. You know what they need. When the prodigal son's father saw him from afar, did he already see what his son needed? And when he went to him, didn't he say to his servants who came, bring shoes for his feet. Bring him a robe and put it on him. God, our Father, knows what we need before we even ask him. And doesn't that confirm God's love for us? Now just think for a moment. We were once dead in our sins, and God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. We didn't know that we needed rescuing. We didn't know that we needed salvation. But God knew before the world began. And he sent us Jesus. We didn't know that we couldn't come to Jesus on our own. But God opened our eyes so that we could see Jesus. So that we could believe in Jesus. We can't live the life that God wants us to live on our own. So God gave us the Spirit of Christ to live within us. And we don't know at times what we should pray. And the Spirit of Christ intercedes for us with groanings that words cannot express. Remember, our Father knows what we need. It's not what we want. It's only what we need. And the Apostle John writes, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we are, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. What we need always lines up with God's will for us. And God goes to say in verse 32 of our chapter this morning, speaking of our physical needs. Your Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, it is said that D.L. Moody, on an occasion, was so overcome with the blessings that God had poured out at him that he actually prayed, "God, stop." That speaks of the Father love of God to his children. God always gives abundantly. So just like David in Psalm 23, we can say, "My cup overflows. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life." God knows what we need before we ask him. Now, three times in our passage this morning, Jesus shows us the relationship that he wants us to have with the Father. He says, "Pray to your Father who is unseen. Your Father will reward you. The Father knows what you need." God is King upon his throne in heaven. But he is also Father to all those who come to him. And all those who come to him are his children. Jesus bids us to enter alone into the secret, our secret place before God our Father. And this is the greatest privilege that we have, that we can come into the very presence of God. It should be our greatest joy, the greatest joy that we have each and every day to go before God. And Jesus teaches us to pray. And all the innocence of a child before our Heavenly Father who hears us, to come to our Father who knows all that we need before we even ask. To come as a child whose Father can supply all that we need. All that you need according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that reason for us to come before God each and every day? He is our loving God. He is our loving Heavenly Father, and he's waiting for us to come to his presence alone. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to hear what's on our hearts. And our challenge is to do this each and every day. God gives abundantly. He rewards those who earnestly seek him and pray to him. And he already knows what we need before we ask. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is for us to come into your presence. So, Father, our prayer this morning is, Father, teach us to pray. Father, help us to know what it is like each and every day to come truly into your presence. Father, to humble ourselves as a small child. Who comes in pure innocence and humility. Father, encourage us to pray for all our needs. Father, to pour out our heart before you. Father, to be honest in all that we say. Father, help us to be the people that you would have us to be. Help us to remember that we are your children, that you are our Father, and to remember that love that you have for us. And Father, as we go out into this week, Lord, strengthen us. Help us to grow in you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you. And we can only grow, Father, if we spend time in your presence alone. Father, we thank you that when we come, you're always there waiting. Father, that you want to hear from us. Father, that you want to have fellowship with us. Oh, Father, how great a thought that is. How great your love for us is. Father, we cannot even fathom. We truly are nothing compared to your greatness. But in your mercy and love, you bid us to come. You call us your children. And Father, thanks be to you now. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.